Welcome back to Our Blue Bahamas. I'm Jasmine Colley, and today we're joined by scholars from Reef Fest Program, the Bahamas Environmental Steward Scholarship. These are young Bahamians who committed a full year, a 100-day residential semester at the island school, followed by real internship placements with conservation partners across the archipelago. Coral restoration, fisheries science, coastal policy. These scholars weren't just studying conservation. They were doing it. Let's hear from them. Let's start with introductions. Tell us your name, which school you previously attended, and what led you to become a BRAS scholar. We'll start with you, Jaden.
My name is Jaden Adderley, and I graduated from C.R. Walker Senior High School. And what led me to become a BRAS scholar is that I interned with Reef, and I found I volunteered with Reef, and I found immense interest with what they were doing and what the impacts they were making, so that led me becoming a BRAS scholar.
So my name is Diamond Lundy. I was homeschooled. I did an online program called Acelis Academy. And what led me to becoming a BRAS scholar was my interest in environmental science, volunteering with Brief for their summer camps, and a lot of push from Heather.
Oh, wonderful. So you spent 100 days living and studying at the island school in Eleuthera before your placement. For someone who has never been, what was the experience actually like, and what surprised you the most?
The experience was a mixed bag of different emotions and settings. You wake up every day with a new adventure on your hand, even though you're essentially in the same place. So one day you could be jumping off a boat, or the next day you could be swimming and looking for conch and studying algae. One of my most surprising moments is essentially holding a conch in my hand and seeing how active and how each conch has a different personality, and feeling different algae. It made me feel different towards my environment, and noticing how everything we do has an impact on another organism.
Wonderful. What about you, Diamond?
So for me, going to Eleuthera before, it was beautiful. The coral reefs, when you're snorkeling, when you're diving, just the scenery, the community, and the people that you meet, they're very warm, welcoming, and inviting. And just learning about my research, which was beaked whales. Going out on a boat on a Thursday, and you look around, and you see these four beautiful whales just surfacing out of the water. It was just beautiful.
So you had an opportunity to actually see whales in its environment live.
Yes, I did.
Wonderful. So what was there a specific moment during the semester in the water, in the lab, anywhere that shifted how you saw yourself in relation to conservation? Diamond?
I would say during that same experience on the boat, seeing the whales for the first time, you realize it's not just about the people, it's about everybody, it's about the education, it's about you yourself putting in the work to be able to keep seeing these animals over and over again.
What about you?
Well, for me, my most moments were in the lab, essentially. We used to hand feed the conch, so it was nice being able to see different parts of the conch moving around, different each specimen, how their personality reacts, even interacting with newly put in conchs. It was nice interacting, seeing them thrive, and seeing them interact with their environment.
Okay, so just for our listeners, being a part of the BRAS Scholar Program, first you're going to have an 100-day semester at the island school, and then afterwards you get to intern with us at Brief, in the Brief office, get your feel for a hand in outreach and our communications and all the other moving parts of Brief. But then also you guys get to go out into different in conservation partners. So tell us about some of your placements, which organizations, where in the Bahamas, and what you're doing day by day.
Well, my very first placement was with Blue Lagoon. Blue Lagoon is an interesting aspect because we did a lot of tours with guests and teaching them about the island, history of the Key, and also the history of the Bahamas, and telling them all about the birds and telling them about different trees and different bush medicines. Essentially, we tell them about the history and be like, hey, you know, you came here, we're teaching you a little bit about your island, about this island as you come here.
And what other placements would you have been to, Diana?
Well, we were also at Adashra Gardens Wildlife and Conservation Center. We had a really great time there. We helped prepare animal diets, assisted with the keeper talks and the flamingo shows, and we made sure the animal spaces were clean and well maintained, and we also learned about the history of Adashra, how they started, what they're doing now.
Okay, wonderful. And then also, what was the most meaningful thing you contributed during your placement?
I think the most thing I contributed during my placement was being able to lead these tours. I like telling people from different parts of the world that about my country and about what we do. It was nice telling people about how certain animals, you know, they have their hands into our culture, or how bush medicine is a main particular part of our culture. I felt as though that's one way of telling people that this is what we protect, and you should also be able to protect your own natural resources, like how we protect ours.
What about you, Diamond? What is something that you'd say, and you can concrete point to say, yeah, I was a part of that?
Definitely when it came to the animals at Adashra, being able to get there early, set up, knowing what you're supposed to be doing it confidently, knowing that you have this down, that was really, like, meaningful.
And is there any other placement that you guys would have been?
Organization for Responsible Governance. Essentially, we also call it ORG. ORG is a non-partisan, a non-profit. They educate the public about acts about the government, and also teach the public how your government should be towards you as well. They have their hands in many different sectors. They have policies, they have citizens, they have government, and they also have environmentalism. One of the things ORG is actually currently working towards is the Escazú Agreement, which is the agreement between the Caribbean and Latin America, essentially surrounding how the government should make the public aware about when there's being development done that would affect the environment. They're trying to get it signed so the government can make people aware that, hey, this is happening, and this is who it will affect, and these are the steps that will be taken to help the citizens essentially get adjusted to what's occurring.
What about you, Diamond? How was your placement at ORG?
Well, one of my favorite parts when we were working at ORG was learning about Map for Good, which is a initiative to bring together nonprofit organizations and also faith-based organizations, which are technically nonprofit organizations. So it creates, you're able to find a list with all these different organizations coming together so you can see what's being happening there, and so other organizations also don't overlap with the same project, so you can see what's happening here, how you can assist.
What I like about what both of you said, first, you were in roles like at Blue Lagoon and at Adashra, where you're helping with the animals, with the stingrays, setting up, you're getting hands-on conservation day-to-day tasks, and then you're shifting on to ORG, where you have policy experience, where you learn about mapping and the different initiatives and good governance. So how does that speak to being like an all-rounded conservation practitioner?
It essentially doesn't define you to one specific skill. Conservation isn't just going out into the wild and doing field study. Conservation also is when you're sitting down in the office typing up 30-page letter about how this policy works and giving it to a member of parliament. Conservation has many hands, and you can find yourself in any predicament. One day you could be swimming with dolphins. The next day you're in the lab writing papers.
So Diamond, what I really want to ask you is, did the placement change your understanding of what conservation really requires? Like, not just the science, but like the community relationships, the challenges, the reality on the ground?
Yes, I would say conservation requires more than just one person. You need a lot of a community to really get things done. And by going to these sub-internships, I've learned that one person cannot do everything. You need a community. You need to be able to talk to people. You need to be able to come together with those around you that have the same values or different values to be able to get this thing done.
So is there any placements that you're looking forward to?
So I think at the end of May, we have a sub-internship with BIMRO, so Bahamas Marine Mammals Research Organization, which will be in Abaco. That one I'm really excited to be a part of, especially at the island school where I learned my student research was marine mammals, where I learned about beaked whales. So I'm really excited for that.
And what about you, Diamond? Jaden?
I'm not really sure as of yet, actually. I feel as though wherever I get placed is just a new area to learn in. I'm not wanting to do anything specific. I'm up for anything. Anything is up for grabs for me. So whatever new thing I can do and make me feel uncomfortable, I'll be up for it.
Wonderful. So Bass asked a serious commitment from young people. It is a year-long program. The 100-day semester, you're actually moving from where you're living. You're going on to a different island, essentially being cut off from your parents. I would say, was that like the first time that you've been for such an extended period away from your family?
For me, yes.
And how was that?
It was kind of nerve-wracking at first. You're around a bunch of new people, a new setting, different environments, different rules, different ways of life. So you're uncomfortable at first, but knowing that you have a community around you that's there for you and is willing to sit down with you and help you get through the tough times, that really made it so much more rewarding and wonderful.
It was the first for me as well. I was more of an inside child than anything, so coming from under my mother's watchful eye for 5 months, it was a lot for me. However, being able to do different things actually made me feel more comfortable in the island school, especially being with the Kong. That made me really comfortable and made me relax more into the environment, and it makes me miss the island school so much.
Nice. So, Bess, this program asks a serious commitment from young people. After everything you've experienced, why is this level of investment worth it? I want to hear from both of you.
So this program builds discipline, responsibility, and purpose. And I feel like this level of investment is worth it because you can't move forward just staying in the same place. You need to try something that makes you uncomfortable, that makes you think, that makes you feel like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Now it's time to learn. I feel like that's why you should invest in this program. You come out a different person at the end of it.
For me, I can say it's more so experiencing new things, you know. A lot of persons who might go into this program might not want to continue with the same path, but they're still informed about it. They're still informed about certain actions taking towards conservation. You might not be in the water. You might be sitting at a desk, but you could still know about conservation. It builds you up in different aspects you didn't know. I feel as though it's a pathway that breaks off into different paths at the end of the day. Maybe you might not grow an affinity for it, but you're still aware. You might still have some hands into it. You say, maybe, oh well, I don't really want to be into this path, but I want to volunteer and help it when I can. So I guess is that to anyone who wishes to commit to it, but just know that it's okay if you don't really have an affinity for it at the end of the day. That's just life. That's just who we are.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you guys got to build a lot of different skills. So tell me about any of the skills that you've learned. So you talked about discipline. You talk about all of these wonderful things, but how did you guys learn any new skills, such as like communication skills, being more, being a better person in the water? So tell us about your experience in that regard.
I definitely built more of a skill of becoming self-aware. I'm not the most, I'm not the type of person who usually pays attention to stuff. So when I'm in the water, I definitely have to be more aware of stuff, because it's like one moment you see a boat passing by, or you could be accidentally stepping on an urchin, or maybe even touching a fire coral. It made me become really aware, because anything can happen. So you just need to be set, need to be set in your setting currently.
For me, it definitely had to be communication. I am not the type of person that would advocate for myself most of the time. So when it came to being in that setting, I really had to get comfortable, break out of that, and be like, oh, I can actually talk to you. This is what I need. This is how you can help. So communication was that for me.
Okay, so, and I see. So how did do these skills help you prepare for the next step?
I'm going off to university this fall, which is also another long time away from home, different setting, new people, different experiences. So by taking communication that I learned from the island school, putting that into talking to my teachers or my mentors, just making sure I know how to advocate for myself and get what I need when I need it.
And you, Jaden?
I can say that it's preparing me to embrace small wonders of the world. I'm a one view type of person. I don't really look at the different sides. So I know for sure this self-awareness aspect to it is definitely going to build me up to be more open to new things and be more aware of what I'm missing in life.
So if you can speak directly to a senior high student listening right now who's thinking about applying, what would you tell them?
I would say don't wait until you feel ready, because sometimes you'll just keep pushing it off. Say, I'm not ready yet, it's not time. Just do it. This is an opportunity, and if you want it, you have to go for it. You can't. I would say don't procrastinate. If you want it, go for it.
Wonderful. And then also, because, you know, a lot of Bahamian students, they don't know how to swim. Going to a family island might be a strong feat to take on. So what would you tell them, Jaden, on going, on applying for the best scholarship?
Be honest with yourself. How many times have you went away to a family island? Probably none. Probably a few times. Take this opportunity as a chance to become more aware of your environment and see a new place, you know. You could see the entirety of NASA in one day. A Lutheran takes you 5 days to entirely see, actually, you know. Take in the sights, sit down, try new things. You get to speak to new people. Just embrace this new place in your life. And don't be scared to go and jump in.
And I know a lot of the island school, they teach about this growth zone. Y'all want to tell us a little bit about that?
This growth zone is, what can I say, it's a very humbling experience, essentially. You have these three big circles. Mm-hmm. This big circle is what you have to expand up towards. Mm-hmm. The medium one is the steps you take to it, and the small one is where you're currently at. You shouldn't focus on the circle every day. Focus on it when you have moments to yourself. You know, you can't change yourself in one day, 1 month, or even 5 months. However, you should be able to take the steps and sometimes sit down and be like, hey, this is something new I tried. And so I'm growing my circle into more things I can do. I don't have to limit myself to the small circle that's crushing me. I can grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And even then, I can still grow more. It's the best of all worlds because it can teach you about how sometimes you are too closed off from everything.
What about you, Diamond? How does these circles apply to you in your journey as an environmental steward?
First of all, I would have to agree with Jaden. Everything is steps, and also taking experiences and just building on them. Maybe not just stopping at one place, but keep going. Try something different. Do something else. Do something that would make you uncomfortable.
So, between all of you, different islands. Well, you guys haven't been placed on Abaco as yet. Hopefully, if we have you guys back, you'll get to speak a little bit more on your placement with the whales with Bimro. And so, different placements, different experiences. What's the single most important thing you want every Bahamian to know about the state of the ocean right now? I really want you guys to dive into this.
The state of the ocean is, it depends where you are, actually. The other day, we had went snorkeling, and when we went to the site was beautiful, of course. However, you could tell the site was essentially deteriorating. We had soft coral that was dying, and you could see that the other corals weren't in the best state, and there wasn't much diversity. You didn't have much big apex predators there. So, essentially, it's I can actually be honest with you, it's not looking the best. Actually, it's not looking the best at all. Because when you see a reef like that, a reef of such its size, you can tell that there's something happening. And it could be a major call and cry out. Why is this reef dying out? Despite the fact it's generally a good ways away from where humans can really go and interact with it. You have to swim out to interact with it. You know, anything could be affecting this factor. A boat can be anchoring. We saw a boat that was nearby that was just anchored right onto the rocks. So I just feel as though people need to sit down and just look into things and let's understand what we are doing to the ocean. The ocean is calling out. It's getting hotter and hotter every single year. We're breaking records every single year. And soon we won't have anything.
And what just to add to your point, Jaden, right now the whole world is experiencing coral bleaching from climate change. And, you know, climate change is essentially the world's climate patterns getting changed. The hotter and hotter at a very quick, rapid rate due to the large influx of greenhouse gases. What's going on now from, like, burning fossil fuels, especially how we use fossil fuels for transportation and energy. So right now, I think what we would have saw, because I was on that snorkel with you as well, that macroalgae took over a large portion of that reef because a lot of the corals had died and possibly bleached during an underwater heat wave. You know, living in the Bahamas, we think that heat waves only happen on top of the surface. They also happen underneath the water as well. So, and worldwide, we're losing a lot of our coral species, and that's one of the main things. Reef, the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation, I just wanted to say that reef part, that we spend a lot of time advocating for and making sure that a lot of sustainable practices are being made towards our ocean. And mind you, we did see some really healthy coral there as well. And I love that you made an awareness that we didn't see any apex predators, you know, and we actually carried out the slate with the sharks, hoping that we would see one. But we saw a lot of juvenile fish. We saw a lot of juvenile grunts. Saw some juvenile Nassau groupers, but nothing of any adult size. And that just shows, kind of reflects, of the health of that area. And that's just a representation of what is happening all over the Bahamas and all over the world. So I want to ask you the same question, Diamond. So what is the single most important thing that you want every Bahamian to know about the state of our ocean?
Our ocean is strong. but it isn't indestructible. We have overfishing, pollution, even the coral bleaching that you were mentioning, and it's happening right in our waters. And as a country that relies on the ocean for our food, economy, tourism, and just way of life, what we do now, it really matters. Like, avoiding all the negative and ignoring all the negative things that we do, it will build up. And at the end of the day, if we don't take responsibility, as it's already declining, we're going to lose it all.
So what do you guys think are some things that everybody can do in their everyday life to assist with this issue?
I can say what people can do in their everyday life more so is just become educated about it. Everybody has a different standing point in their life. So I just want persons to become more educated on the topic and so see where they can actually even go to help. Sit down and just sit in classes and learn that what is climate change, what is coral bleaching, how does it affect us, and what can we do to help. I feel as though if more people begin to learn about it, they can even take steps to help things like legislation be pushed forward to even help, you know. If a mass of people can come to the government and be like, we want this to stop, the government can put an action so we could essentially stop certain things from happening. Who knows what we can do if we come together and make a large voice for the ocean.
And what about you? What are some things that people can do home, right from their very homes, listening in this call right now, into this radio station right now?
Simple things, plugging out appliances when they aren't in use, maybe walking if it's in walking distance, carpooling, cutting off, limiting your water usage, just small things like that can do so much.
Because a lot of people don't know that these tiny, tiny behaviors add up, and especially if a lot of persons take on these roles, that it'll have such a wave of an effect in making these incremental changes. To close, I want to thank you both, Jaden and Diamond, our best scholars, for being so honest and so bold. You started this program as students and you're coming back as conservationists. And the Bahamas is better for it. I know our oceans are thanking us right now. If you're a student interested in BASS or any of Reef's youth programs, visit reef.org. That's BREEF.org, or follow Brief on our social media at Brief242. And if you know a young person that is on fire for the ocean, send them to this episode. But until next time, protect your blue. We'll see you on the next episode at Our Blue Bahamas. Thank you.